Some of us have a somber heart. Some of us are just...
For his goodness, his grace, and mercy. Amen. I know for the past few weeks we've been journeying through the gospel account of Mark. Today we're going to take a little bit of a break and get into, just go to a place of scripture I think is certainly important for us, that I think it would be challenging to all of us as well. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 11 through 16, but we're also going to be in some other places in Scripture today. Today's sermon is going to be more sort of a topical type of sermon today as we go through to see some things. Hopefully, like I said, it will challenge us in our walk. From time to time as I get up here, I try to encourage you all to... together as we grow, to spend time not only coming to church on Sundays and on Wednesdays, but also in our own personal time at home, just opening up your Bible and, a few passages at a time, reading through, praying, talking to God and asking Him to help us as we grow and mature. And that's what we're going to really get into today. So Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. The text will be up on the screen, and this is what it says. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro from the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body what? Grow, so that it builds itself up in love. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you've given us the privilege to come together to celebrate your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. We pray in Jesus' name that as we search the scriptures, that the scriptures will search our hearts, that our minds will be renewed, our lives transformed. We know, Lord, that we're not able to do anything without you. So we ask by your Holy Spirit that you will lead us and guide us through our service today, that you will receive all the honor, the praise, and glory. And we pray, Father, that you will till the soul of our heart, that the seed of your word will be planted deep within us, that we may bear fruit for your glorious kingdom. In the mighty and matchless name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. 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 So today I'd like to share with you on the topic of spiritual maturity. One of the reasons why I stand here before you and try to encourage you to spend time in God's Word, to spend time coming to church and Bible study, is for the fact of spiritual maturity, to grow. To be everything that God has called you to be. We study together. We grow together. When God saves us, when He has given us new life, when He has changed us and we have obtained eternal salvation through the finished work of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, He didn't give us that life for us to just stay stagnated in one spot. He gave us new life for us to grow. It's no different from natural life. Babies grow, right? And, of course, God has given us everything we need to help us to grow. He's given us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit who lives within us, who have called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's also given us His Word. If we want to know what God feels and says about certain things in our lives, all we have to do is crack open the Scriptures. All we have to do is dive in to God's Holy Word. Now, for us today... We've read verses 11 through 16, but I just want to remind you that in the previous verses of this same chapter, chapter 4 of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul, he actually reminds us of the importance of unity in the body of Christ. And not only unity, but also our growth and maturity together as well. And I'm going to read that for you today, the first 8 verses. This is what the Apostle Paul writes. He says, "I therefore, prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain unity in the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace is given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men." Paul reminds us also, not only do we have the blessings of unity because of the gifts that have been given to each and every one of us, but these are all given to us on the basis of the victory that Christ has accomplished through his sacrifice and his resurrection, that he has overcome the spiritual forces of darkness. And therefore, we now have authority and peace with our great and mighty God. The passage that we are reading this morning is a reminder of how Christ provides the church, the body of Christ, not the building. It's important for us to understand and make sure that we understand the difference. If we walk out of these doors, this building is a building. Yes, we are blessed to have a place where we can come and fellowship and worship God, but it's a building. We, those of us who have put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we are the church, the body of Christ. We are his, you've heard it from time to time in many of the Christian songs that we listen to from time to time. We are the hands and feet of Jesus. Whenever we participate and get involved in ministries and things of that nature, that's how Christ is reaching out into the world through us. We are the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But God calls us to grow spiritually, to mature spiritually, to be everything that he has called us to be. So there's a few things for the sake of time today I want to share with you. The first thing I believe is important for us to recognize about spiritual maturity is that spiritual maturity is God's desire for every believer. God has a desire for all of us to grow, to mature, to reach our fullest potential, spiritual potential in Christ Jesus. In fact, Matthew tells us, he said, "You therefore must be perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect." Now, I don't want any of you to get caught up in the word perfect. The word actually means, it means to mature, to be mature, to be able to get to a place where you can make solid, good decisions in your life. That's what it means. It means that you can be trusted in the choices and decisions that you make in your life. And those decisions, ultimately, as we spend time with God and do the things that God has called us to do, as we spend time in his word, we begin to make decisions that line up with the will of Almighty God. We're not seeking our own anymore. We're seeking to do what God has called us to do as his very own children, and he being our Heavenly Father. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 says, "Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ, the things you have already figured out, that Jesus Christ came, died on the cross for you, gave his life, shed his blood to wash away all of our sin." Those are the elementary things. Those are the basic things. The fact that you have obtained salvation through the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The writer of Hebrews says, let's go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from the dead works and the faith toward God. In other words, we ought to be digging deep, maturing in our faith and our walk with Christ, diving into the scriptures, and not just the basics of things, but seeing what God has to say, understanding so that we can grow and be everything God has called us to be. So spiritual maturity is God's desire for every believer. That's for you and for me. And that is until he calls us home. It's not just coming to church on Sunday. It's about setting time aside every single day of our lives and spending time with Almighty God. When we spend time with him, we establish even a more intimate relationship with him. The more time you spend with God, the more you know about his will and what his desires are for your life. They're decisions that we all have to make on a daily basis, right? And I don't know about you, but we all need God's help to make those decisions in life. The second thing is understanding what the goal of spiritual maturity would be. The goal of spiritual maturity is to mold us into the image of Jesus Christ, right? I've said from time to time, God is not trying to make me a better Kevin. He's trying to make me and mold me into more like his son, Jesus Christ. In fact, that's what the scriptures tell us in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. It says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Who's his son? Jesus Christ. That's how we will impact the world. We will impact the world around us, our families. We'll impact the people on our jobs. We'll impact the folks in our communities. We'll impact the folks around in our churches. Believe it or not, listen, we'll do that when we are more like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when we love folks as Jesus has loved us, when we operate in forgiveness and don't harbor unforgiveness, but instead we extend grace as we have been shown grace. You see, this is how this works. We're more like Jesus. And we don't even think twice about whether we should forgive someone for things that they have done against us. That's not even a question. The Bible tells us, in fact, that we should forgive all the time, no matter what. We should always seek forgiveness for other people. Even when people have wronged us, we should always seek to forgive them. Because we have been shown forgiveness by Almighty God himself. In fact, Jesus said, forgive as I have forgiven you. Now, just for a moment, think about how you have been forgiven of your sin. Think about it. Did you deserve it? No, I didn't. You've been shown mercy. And God desires for us to show that same mercy to the people around us in our own lives. It says we ought to be conformed to the image of his son in order that we might be the firstborn among many brothers. Philippians chapter 2 says, have this mind among yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus, talking about humility. We should never be walking around filled with pride, but instead we should walk around with humility and be humble. Jesus, being God himself, came down and wrapped himself in flesh, lived a life as a servant when he could have took advantage of the fact that he was God and done anything he wanted to do, but instead he came as a servant and he came to serve instead of to be served. Now, if Jesus can do that, then guess what? He calls us to do the same, to humble ourselves in such a way that will bring glory and honor and praise to him. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 7 says, therefore, as you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord, so also walk in him. Live your life out as he lived his life out. Follow the example that Christ sets for us, rooted and built up in him, established in your faith, just as you were taught, and abounding in thanksgiving. Our lives should be filled with gratitude and thanksgiving for the things that God has always done for us. Sure, we can dwell on our problems and our issues. I find myself getting into that rut from time to time. But if we truthfully think about it, God has done so much for us. And we have so much to be thankful for. And he deserves our gratitude. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12, chapter 12, verse 2 says, look to Jesus. In other words, Jesus is our greatest example, my brothers and sisters. The tendency for some of us is we look at people and we put all of our confidence in people. But guess what? People will let you down. They're humans. But our greatest example, in fact, the Apostle Paul says it this way. He says, you can follow me as long as I'm following Christ. That's what the Apostle Paul says. But the Hebrews writer of Hebrews says it this way. He says, look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him had endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He is our greatest example. If we don't know how to treat people, follow Jesus. If we want to know what it's like to love people, follow Jesus. He's our greatest example. The third thing I'd like to share with you today is spiritual maturity always leads to a changed life. Now, I got a few things I want to share of indicators of a life that has been changed or is in the process of being changed. First thing is spiritual understanding. Paul, the apostle, writes in Colossians chapter 2, he says, for I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea, speaking of the believers at the Laodicean church, and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and knowledge of God's mystery, which is in Christ. And then he goes on to say, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In other words, Paul is saying, listen, to live out this life, the greatest thing you can show is a life that is living after Jesus Christ. Not just lip service, but a life that is striving to live for Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Because that's what people ultimately see. Our kids, the people that we face on our jobs, in our community, they're always watching us. And amongst our brethren, our fellowship, Jesus told us that that's one of the ways in which we are known to be his followers, is how we love and how we treat one another. Amen. Spiritual discernment of the will of God. Paul tells us in Colossians, chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, he says, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. See, he wants us to continue to grow in spiritual wisdom and understanding. This is a responsibility, my brothers and sisters, that falls upon us. Now, we know that ultimately God gives us the Spirit to lead us and guide us into all truth, because we know that's what Jesus told us that his responsibility is. But we also have a responsibility in the fact that it takes for us to dig into the Word. It takes us to spend time in communion and fellowship and in prayer with our Heavenly Father. That's an effort that comes from us. And the more we do that, the more we grow, the more we become the people that God has called us to be. He says, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, that what is good and acceptable and perfect. And then, of course, spiritual stability. My brothers and sisters, because of who we are in Jesus Christ, because of who he has called us to be, and because of the sacrifice that he has made on our behalf. Listen, God doesn't desire for us to be flippy-floppy or wishy-washy. Our confidence is in Christ. We belong in him. He's finished the work on our behalf. We are his. We're his children, and God is our Heavenly Father. Nothing will ever change that. Nothing. And when someone says, well, someone can walk away, but watch this. You and I both know, if you have experienced God for yourself, why would you ever walk away from him? Why would you ever walk away from God's goodness, his mercy, his grace? Paul writes about his brother Epaphras, and he says, who is one of you, telling the Colossian church, he says, a servant of Christ, and he greets you and always struggles on behalf in his prayers that you may stand mature, In other words, grow in your faith, fully assured of the will of God for your life. In other words, stand confident in who you are because of what Jesus has done on your behalf. Peter writes it this way. He says, "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with error of lawless people and lose your own stability. Don't be wishy-washy, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." And then fourth, spiritual concern for others. You know, the Bible tells us that we cannot say that we love God and hate our brothers. Isn't that what the scriptures tell us? So in other words, some of the greatest tests of our faith and our walk with Christ is how we, whether we are concerned in the lives. I'm not talking about concerned with people's lives as we talk about them behind their back and all that kind of stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. Spreading their business and stuff like that. What I'm talking about is being concerned, truly concerned about their lives. What do I mean by that? Well, Romans chapter 15, 1 says, "We who are strong, those who are spiritually mature," right, "have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak." In every church, in the body of Christ, period, you have folks who are more mature in their walk with Christ than others. And you may have some that may falter, and they may fail from time to time, but instead of us looking at them, pointing the finger in judgment, our responsibility, our obligation to them is to do what? To reach out to them, to help them to reach their fullest potential, to be an encouragement to them, to be a blessing to them. And this is what the Apostle Paul is telling us in Romans. He says this in Galatians. He says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual," in other words, those of you who are mature in your faith, in your walk with God, he's saying the same thing. You have an obligation. You should restore him in a spirit of what? Gentleness. Not judgment, but gentleness. "Keep watch on yourselves, lest you too be tempted." You see, the tendency for many of us is we forget that we're human too. We forget about our weaknesses and our failures, and we point the fingers at everyone else and point and, you know, put the attention on everybody else instead of ourselves. And we forget about the fact that we've experienced grace and mercy, and we should do the same. And then he tells us in verse 2, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." Didn't Jesus tell us to love your neighbor as you love yourselves? And then the final thing, number four, I'd like to share with you today is spiritual maturity should be the goal. Not just coming to church on Sunday. And that's the only time you read, hear, or speak the word. But it should always be the goal of every believer, is for us to mature in our faith. And I'll walk with God. Philippians says this way, "Brothers, I do not consider..." Paul, and you, if you know the story of Paul, Paul was, he was a terrorist before he became a Christian. He terrorized believers, persecuting them, going to murder them, all of these. Listen, he was a terrorist. But God changed his life. And the Apostle Paul understood that he didn't have it all together. Now, we read his letters and we say, man, this brother was bad to the bone. I mean, he had, you know. But Paul understood that he didn't have it all together. He had his own struggles as well. But he says, "I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind..." Amen, somebody. Because many of us, we live our lives driving and looking through the rearview mirror instead of through the windshield. Paul is saying, listen, I can't do nothing about my past. I can't do nothing with this, about the stuff that's behind me. The only thing I can do is I can, he says, I strain forward to what lies what? Ahead. Because that's what's important. I'm serious. Go out here today. Well, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't try to go out here and drive up 17 looking in the rearview mirror. But we know how tragic that would be. Right? But many of us, we live our lives like that. We live in the past. Can't get over the past. Paul said, get over it. Nothing you can do about it. He said, I press forward. And he says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God, which is in Christ Jesus. In other words, Paul says, Jesus Christ is my focus. And he says, let those of us who are mature, here's that word again, think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that to you also. Our thinking, my brothers and sisters, should be, how can I become a more mature Christian? How can I grow in Christ? How can I increase in my relationship, my intimacy with my Heavenly Father? How can I be everything that God has called me to be? In 2 Corinthians, Paul writes it this way, since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of the body and spirit, bringing holiness to the completion in the fear of God. He tells young Timothy, he says, but as for you, O man of God, flee the things of your youth and pursue righteousness, pursue godliness, pursue faith, pursue love, pursue steadfastness, pursue gentleness. These are the things that are important. And guess what? That didn't just work for Timothy. That's what's important for all of us who are seated here today. Those are the things we should be pursuing. Because those are the things that bring glory and honor and praise to our Heavenly Father, my brothers and sisters. And he says it this way as we close with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, I love this. Finally, brothers, rejoice. Rejoice. You may be struggling and going through some tough times and difficulties in life, and it may not be as easy as we would love for it to be. There may be some challenges and things of that nature. He says, but aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And watch what happens. Here's the result. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Listen, my brothers and sisters. If there's one person that would love for us to be everything that he has created us to be, it is our Heavenly Father. It is. And he knows that one of the greatest things for us and our benefit is for us to mature and to grow. So when I stand here and encourage you to open up the scriptures, and I'm not saying you don't, but I do have the right to encourage you to open up the Bible, to come to Bible study and to learn and grow, to come to Sunday school. Yeah, you might have to get up an hour earlier. But is it going to hurt? I personally believe it'll help. To get our children involved in the Awana's ministry and things of that nature, that's not going to hurt. It's going to help. Because when we watch our children grow, guess what's going to happen? We're going to watch them face difficulties and struggles just like we had to. But many of us, we didn't always grow up with a firm foundation to stand on. But the responsibility from us to them is to help them to do just that. And listen, they'll be blessed. To get more involved, to serve in greater capacities that God is reaching out to call us to do, we can do that. When folks come forward and say, hey, we need some help. We need help teaching our kids. We need help getting involved and doing things. What's that going to hurt? That's part of spirit. Listen, didn't we say care and concern for others? That's part of it. Reaching out. Getting involved in serving in ministry. I believe we can do that. I believe that it's imperative for us to do that. And that's my encouragement for you today. For us to grow and to mature spiritually. and we'll do it together. Amen? Amen. Let us stand to our feet for a moment. Heavenly Father, there may be those who are here today who may have never accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. My prayer to you, Father, is that you will move on their heart in such a way that they surrender their life to Christ. There may be those who are watching or listening in this morning who may have never accepted Christ. Lord, we thank you that you have offered to us every day, every moment, the ability to surrender our life to you. And we thank you, Lord God, for that privilege. So I pray in Jesus' name for anyone who's here today. If you are here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have a wonderful opportunity to do that. We extend the invitation to you today. Is there one? If you're at home and you're watching in and listening in, you can accept Christ as your Lord and Savior right where you are. It's a matter of surrendering your life, recognizing that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. The Bible says if you confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If that is you, all you have to do is surrender. If you've made that decision today, we certainly would love to stay in contact with you. We have some information that we're going to bring up. WMBCVA1@gmail.com. You can contact us and send us your contact information so we can continue to pray for you and also reach out to you. You may be looking for a church home, a place where you can plant your feet and grow. White Marsh Baptist Church would love to be a part of what God is doing in your life as well. And you can reach out to us through that email as well. Father, we thank you. We thank you for all that has taken place on this day. And we give you honor, praise, and glory. And we pray, Lord, that as we depart from this place, never from your presence, that you will continue, dear Lord, to lead, guide, and direct our path. Help us, Lord, those who, of us who have are growing and maturing in our faith and our walk with you, help us to continue to share the greatest message ever delivered to humanity, the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, we love you. We lift up our children to you right now in Jesus' name. And we pray for their upcoming school year. As they begin school tomorrow, we ask, Lord, your blessing upon them. We ask, Lord, we pray for the educators and those who are involved in so many different ways. We just ask, Lord, that you will keep them safe and strengthen them, Father. In the mighty and matchless name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Amen.